You pick a verse.
Me? Okay. Let me pick a verse.
You pick a verse.
Okay.
Just give me the verse chapter.
Jeremiah 25.
25 what?
Open to 30.
Okay, let's see what it says.
I don't think I really want to hear it.
Okay. Therefore prophesy against them all these words. Jeremiah 25:30. Therefore prophesy against them all these words and say to them, the Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will roar mightily against his fold. He will give a shout as those who tread the grapes. Against all the inhabitants of the earth, a noise will come to the ends of the earth. And the Lord, for the Lord has a controversy with the nations. He will plead his case with all flesh. He will give those who are wicked to the sword, says the Lord. Wow. This is very sobering. This is the fate of those who reject Christ. There is a time coming, and I don't believe it's very far off. Most scholars don't believe it's very far off. There is a time coming when God's patience for those who have rejected Him will run out. Ultimately, for every individual who rejects Christ, God's patience runs out. But there is a time coming when God's patience will run out towards those who are on earth, not only those who have passed into eternity for rejecting Christ. I believe that time is very near. And the Word of God says that in that day it will be as in the day of Noah. And the Word of God says that in Noah's day, in Genesis chapter 6, the world was consecrated unto violence and cruelty. And nowadays, it is as in the days of Noah. This is the beginning of sorrows that we are living in, that Jesus spoke about. We are in the beginning of sorrows. It is as in the days of Noah, when men live in unbelief. Now, the men that live in unbelief today are different than the men who lived in unbelief in Noah's day, in the regard that in Noah's day, angels procreated with women. They took women as wives, and they took on, or they produced a whole different race of being that was half man and half angel. These are the sons of God, took to themselves, the sons are the daughters of men, as Genesis 6 puts it. These were angels with bodies. These angels are now bound in an area of hell called Tartarus. And they will be released again during the second 3.5 year period of the Great Tribulation. But you see, this is the age that we are living in. It is similar to the age of Noah, in as much as men will not tolerate sound doctrine. Men will not tolerate godliness. I mean, you guys are godly people. And regardless of whether you are a little bit older or a little bit younger, you are facing the same challenges to your godliness. Your peers do not like that you are godly. No doubt you have heard a lot about it. It is as in the days of Noah. Noah was ridiculed for 120 years for building an ark. In a manner of speaking, we are building an ark. The ark we are building is for the remnant of God. Now, whether you are a pastor or you are not a pastor, and by the way, there is no such thing as a lay person, because there is no such thing as an amateur or a professional Christian. The whole concept of laity is not a biblical concept. Now, you may get paid for Christian service or you may not get paid for Christian service. It does not make one better than the other. Now, pastors are to get paid simply so that they can dedicate their time to feeding the flock and to winning the lost. But really, we all are to do that. Maybe not to the degree that a pastor does it, because we have a different calling, or maybe not in the same way, because we have a different calling. But we all do that in a manner of speaking. In a manner of speaking, we are building an ark. And we are building an ark for people who are watching us. Because that ark was a safe haven from tribulation. And our lives can become a safe haven from tribulation when we respond to Christ. How many times does it happen when the Spirit-filled believer has someone come to them? They don't necessarily even know them, but they want to talk to them. Because that person has become a safe haven in time of tribulation. Now, the ark was like that, and these days are like the days of the ark. And just like Noah, we may be ridiculed, we may be mocked, the world will not like us, they will accuse us with false accusations. And if we dare to win souls, they will accuse us more intensely. Now, do you remember, I told you a while back, specifically a conversation with you, that when we start soul winning, the attacks will come. Do you remember that? Yeah. It is as in the days of Noah. You see, you will be attacked, you will be persecuted, and you will have tribulations in the world because you are representatives of Christ. But the Word of God says, they that suffer with Christ will reign with Him. Now, it is possible for me to look at a brother or a sister who is being persecuted, and I make a decision. It is possible that I will choose to identify with that person, that I will not choose to disassociate from them simply because they are being persecuted. And persecution comes in the form of false accusations. When those accusations come, I have to make a decision. I will either stand with the accused or I will run from them. Now, it is my choice to make. God will not violate my free volition. He will allow me to make it. But if I suffer with Christ, I reign with Him. Who is it that suffers with Christ? One, the believer suffers as Christ. In the believer's suffering, he is identifying, of course you have heard this, with the suffering of Christ. But those also come with accusations. You see, Christ was accused of having a demon by the religious crowd. Now, some stood with Him and some would not. Many would not. Most, in fact, in the end, did not. And those who were touched by Him at one point, at another point, some of them, not all of them, but some of them yelled, "Crucify Him." Likewise, there were those who did not turn from Him. They laid down their life just as He had for them. They laid down their life for Him. Those were the people who came to the cross to stand at the foot of it. And when they laid down their life, who did they get to know? They got to know the one that they laid down their life for. They got to know their Savior. And I can't imagine the honor that they must have experienced when they did so. I mean, think about it. All of history pointed to one event. I mean, the writing in the stars in Genesis chapter 1, the writing that is given for signs and for seasons, and I don't mean literal writing, but I mean the patterns in the stars that we recognize are the story of the gospel, the story of the history of humanity. It all points to the cross. And just as an aside, I find it really quite fascinating that it appears to scientists that the entire universe is being drawn to one central location called the Great Attractor, which is a collection of clusters of galaxies, a huge structure. And apparently the entire universe is being dragged into the Great Attractor, and the way that you see the Great Attractor from the standpoint of the Earth is to look through the Southern Cross. Now, if we choose to lay down our life for Christ, we will get to know Him. But how do I lay down my life for Christ? It's not in what I do. It's in how well I get to know Him. And what is it that I am willing to stand into? What's, you know, put up with, if you will? What is it that I'm willing to associate with, that I'm willing to have happen for getting to know Christ? Now, I have a pastor. His name is Pastor Stevens. Dr. Carl Stevens. He has, interestingly enough, he never finished high school, but he has two honorary PhDs. He was a simple man from a small, simple place. As a matter of fact, he used to be a boxer before he became a Christian. But he was a simple man from a small, simple place who simply responded to a call from God. Now he, in his response to a call from God, has won countless souls to Christ. What was the result of that? The world hated him. He made it to the front pages of Australian newspapers. I think it was Melbourne, maybe it was Sydney. He was on the front page. He's never been to Australia. Because the world hated him. Why did the world hate him? Because they hated Christ. But the countless souls that he won to Christ are his inheritance in heaven. Now, when he got persecuted, people had to make a choice. They could either stand with him, because he was attacked on nationwide television. If I told you the people and the programs, you would recognize them. And he was brazenly lied about. So much so that when they did an interview with him on one program, and they actually edited the tape as to change his answers. That is how brazen these nationwide famous celebrity reporters who interviewed him were. Like utter lies they told about this man. Now, when somebody like that comes about, you have your choice. You can stand with him, knowing that this is the man of God, much like Elijah was a man of God, much like Jeremiah was a man of God, Moses was a man of God. I'm not saying that he had their call, but he is, nevertheless, like they were, a man of God. Or some people would not stand with him. They would simply walk away, and a few, not too many, but a few, joined in with the attackers. I have the same choice. I will guarantee you, if there is fruit in your life, you will have to make a decision. Because the nations hate God. And God will lose His patience with them. God's anger will not be held back against them forever. He will pour it out eventually. But I have to make a decision, because this is not that time yet. It's coming soon, but it's not that time yet. It is now as in the days of Noah, where a godly man or a godly woman will be deeply ridiculed. What will you do when that time comes? Because if there is fruit in your life, it will come. Or what will you do if a friend of yours is ridiculed for the fruit in their life? Because something like this will happen, I promise you. If there is fruit, it will happen. What will you do? You will have the option. You can either cut and run, and you will be permitted to do that. Or you can get to know the Savior as He is being persecuted. Now, it is a person that's being persecuted. No, just like in Acts chapter 9, Paul, "Why do you persecute me?" God said. Or Saul, excuse me, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" You see, people don't realize this, but even today, the religious crowd is persecuting the Savior by attacking other believers. And God is wondering, "Why are you persecuting me?" Now, when that happens, we can either stay in the fire, trust God, and be trained to reign for eternity, or we can cut and run. Most people, I dare say, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't believe so, most people will cut and run. But a few will remain. Now, it is an option that I have to choose. It's something that I have to decide. Just like in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, people decided against him. People decided that this man of God was a lunatic. And they did so with fairly reasonable thoughts. It was not by sight, by worldly thinking, an unreasonable thing. It had never rained before. Noah was telling them, the sky is going to fall. Quite literally. Because all the water was in the sky. And then there was water on the ground. And he was saying that the water in the sky is going to come down. And they said he was nuts. And they mocked him and ridiculed him. And none, except for Noah, turned to righteousness. See, Noah was spared because he was a righteous man before God. That was the last Christian. But he stood firm with God in the time of tribulation. What would have taken place had Noah not stood firm with God? I think if Noah did not stand firm with God, God's anger, where he says, I will not strive with man forever, it repenteth me that I have created him, would have been the end of humanity. One righteous man standing in tribulation, in the face of attacks from the entire world, changed all of history. There was only one righteous man, but that was enough. Where God can have a testimony, He will have one. There's a story about a child who was in Russia during the communist days, and on a school field trip they went to an art museum, and they had a lot of classic religious paintings, some famous, I don't remember who the painters were, but something to the akin of Rembrandt, someone along those lines. And the guide showed them all these religious paintings and said, these were paintings about a myth that was written long ago, and she basically unwittingly gave the gospel, and the little boy believed it. And he went home and he told his mom and dad about the gospel, and they believed it. And his mom and dad went around the town where they lived and they gave their friends and neighbors the gospel, and they believed it. This little kid, where God had a small testimony, had tremendous fruit. That whole city got saved. Why? One righteous kid. And before God changed the city. One righteous man standing firm against all else before God saved humanity. The plan of God for the ages, when it repented God for having established it, was preserved by one man who was willing to stand in the fire. Obey God despite sight, but trust Him, and He changed the world. Don't take it lightly who you will stand with or what you will stand in. Always stand firm in the righteousness of Christ. Always stand firm in your faith. Always stand firm in your testimony. It doesn't matter if you are ridiculed. It doesn't matter if people persecute you. It doesn't matter if they accuse you. It doesn't matter if they come against you. It doesn't matter if they mock you and ridicule you for your purity or for your righteousness or for your convictions. Stand firm. Because it is those people, those very ones who are your accusers, who you are building the ark for. You see, your life is a testimony for them so that they can become righteous men. Now when Jesus died on the cross, I love this. When Jesus died, His executioner got saved. One righteous man on the cross, glorifying God in His deepest torment, won an eternal soul. The soul of the one who put Him to death. Do not be careful. Do not ever get familiar with your convictions to the point where you would be willing to yield them just because there is opposition. I will guarantee you there will be opposition. The question is, will you stand with God? Amen.